So welcome to Sacred Sunday, part two. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you might remember that I lovingly strong-armed, aka asked people to volunteer to share their stories of what sacred service means to them, how that has helped them to shape their experience here at Unity. When I was spending that time in discernment this summer, the first two things that really kind of hit me in the solar plexus that resonated was the language of oneness, that we are all one in that ever-present goodness of God, and the language of your vision and mission, and the idea of being of sacred service to our own community and to the world. The vision and mission of this church speaks volumes. It is so clear that it was prayerfully discerned, and it speaks volumes of how we want to show up in the world. So this threshold moment that we're in as Unity of Albany invites us now to re-envision how we live up to that aspiration and how we live into our vision and mission together. Holy discomfort goes along with holy wow, I think. That holy discomfort, though, is a phrase that has really echoed for me since I read the article in Unity Magazine by Reverend Ogun Holder that I talked about on that Sunday in the talk, What is Mine to Do? Because Reverend Holder invites us to remember that Martin Luther King's words were not only to invite us into a dream. They were to challenge us, all of us who are good people, to think about if we prefer a negative peace, and these are Martin's words, a negative peace that is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. And those words lead me to holy discomfort. So today's daily word, compassionate, thanks for reading that, Carol. It's a wonderful grounding as I lead us today to continue in that conversation and in that chance to open ourselves to some holy discomfort that leads us into living out that mission. And then one more affirmation of divine synergy. At Thursday's prayer hour, Deb Foss, handily stepping in for Dennis Ryan, shared a beautiful prayer by Andrew Harvey, whose work I had planned on already. I will draw on his work today. And so that prayer made its way into my revisions for this morning. So when we heard about those many things that people in our community do to be the voice, the hand, the eyes, the heart of spirit, it came as we've been thinking about what is mine to do. We heard from David Roth. We've had lots of inspiration over these past months thinking about where is divine guidance leading us. That's the epiphany moment. All of it comes together in my heart and mind right now to say, now what? And so this morning we're going to tiptoe into the work of Andrew Harvey. If you are not familiar with him, he's a prolific British writer. He's a religious scholar. He's a modern day mystic. And I first encountered his work and his presence. He taught one of the days in my seminary weekend at One Spirit. He's the founder and director of the Institute for Sacred Activism, a term he defines as a transforming force of compassion in action. A transforming force of compassion in action that is born of a fusion of deep spiritual knowledge, courage, love, and passion with wise radical action in the world. Wow. I'll post this because, yeah, hearing it today, we're going to cut. We need to come. I need to come back to it. I have spent a lot of time parsing Andrew Harvey. We're going to need to come back to him. So I will. We'll post this. Harvey writes, a spirituality that is only private and self-absorbed, one devoid of an authentic political and social consciousness, does little to halt the suicidal juggernaut of history. On the other hand, an activism that is not purified by profound spiritual and psychological self-awareness and rooted in divine truth, wisdom, and compassion will only perpetuate the problem it is trying to solve, however righteous its intentions. When, however, the deepest and most grounded spiritual vision is married to a practical and pragmatic drive to transform all existing political, economic, and social institutions, a holy force, the power of wisdom and love in action, is born. This force I define as sacred activism. He's challenging. This is not love as sentiment. This is love as that deep inner work before we face the outer world. And it is calling us to notice where we are called. We are not called all to the same gifts. There is so much to celebrate about the ways this community shows up authentically, prayerfully, in all the glory of being fully human and fully divine, and in all the mess of that as well. And yet, as we continue to live into our vision and mission, I think we need to keep asking, what is mine to do? Then what is ours to do? And we trust. We trust that in the discernment we will hear the voice of God within calling us in ways that are sometimes small and tender and in ways that sometimes require much of us. I like to say those words to couples in their marriage vows when we get to that point. In our vow together, that is what we're called to, the small ways and the large ways that call a lot out of us. So I'm going to share, this is the teacher version of Reverend Bridget showing up today. Go ahead, Phil, hit it. I've got a couple of slides for you. So, oh, this is very exciting. Okay, so this is not my work. I took a class a couple of years ago with Reverend Chelsea McMillan, who is the co-founder of the Brooklyn Center for Sacred Activism, along with Leo Bierman. She is a One Fellow grad as well. And I have permission to use this. They actually are really hoping to share this work in a more wide way for us to think about. It's challenging. Again, I will post this slide. And as I kind of walk us through what they say, you don't have to memorize the slides. You don't have to take notes. There's not a quiz. There's no quiz at the end of this next Sunday. Don't worry. I will post the whole slide for you to meditate with if you so choose. As I walk us through their version of holy imagination, holy heartbreak, and holy rebellion, I will pause from their words with a short little guided centering. So for today, I invite you to tiptoe into these waters with me and we'll see where we go. Holy imagination. Where is my holy imagination leading? What do you want to say yes to? What do you see that you can nurture? What's missing that you will help create? Holy imagination is where your creativity is called to come out and play, where your beautiful mind and strategic mastery are summoned to envision a brand new world. Close your eyes, connect to the divine, and allow the magic to flow through you. And now an invitation into the holy imagination. Breathing in, I say yes. Breathing out, connect to that divine imagination. Breathing out, I nurture. Breathing in, I nurture. Breathing out, invite in creative mind. Breathing in and breathing out. Holy heartbreak. Where do I find holy heartbreak? Where do you see suffering? Who or what needs your care? How can you help? Holy heartbreak is the sacred activism of tender, loving care. It's a sacred activism of non-duality in which you say neither yes or no, right or wrong. But how can I serve? We are here to take care of each other and a hurting world. Where can you create love? Right here, right now. So we pause to center on our holy heartbreak. Breathing in. Sense the suffering present in the world. Breathing out, send your loving compassion as light. Breathing in, sense the hurting. Breathing out, send peace. And simply breathe. Holy rebellion. Am I called to holy rebellion? What do you want to say no to? Where can you speak truth to power? What system of oppression will you help dismantle? Holy rebellion is where your willpower, strength, and courage are ignited as you unleash a full-bellied, full-throated no, rejecting the status quo. You are taking power from the hands of the few, standing up to injustice, and helping us all let go of that which no longer serves. Let's pause to center in on our holy rebellion. Breathing in, sense your power in Christ love. Breathing out, sense your healthy boundaries. Breathe in, standing with the oppressed. Breathe out courage and strength. Breathe in spirit of justice. Breathe out spirit of peace. Can you do the next slide, Phil? Man, I really needed you when I was teaching on Zoom, Phil. The gift of the self-compassion portion of loving kindness is that we're called to see ourselves clearly, to be stewards of the grace of God that 1 Peter reminds us of. We're called to love and accept ourselves as one with God and with each other. We're not called to deplete ourselves in service to others. It's a good reminder. But recognizing who we are, through prayerful discernment, we are called to co-create with God the world transformed through the spiritual awakening of all. We find our path into service by truly seeing into our own hearts what makes us come alive. Where do I find my joy? Is it in service in music? Is it in service with elder care, with young people? Where do I find my joy? Because when we come alive, the world says, "Hallelujah, that person's alive." What feeds our joy? Time in nature, time journaling, time with beloveds, time in community, time in stillness alone. What feeds our joy? That heartbreak, that holy heartbreak, what does the world need? What makes our hearts ache? And that can be close to home. It does not need to be something that is one of the big heartbreaks of the world, of which there are plenty. But right here at home, what are those heartbreaks that tug at us that say, I could bring healing there. I could bring some healing there by listening, by being a presence to a friend going through a hard time. I could bring some healing there. And that holy rebellion, to me, that is also part of both the passion and the heartbreak and what I want to show up with. What are the skills that I have? Can I write a letter about an issue that I feel strongly about? Can I show up and stand with people who are really suffering? There's such a range of ways we can listen to that holy rebellion, including setting our own loving, gentle boundaries with people we love in our lives. All of that is a part of it. What do we say yes to? To what do we say no? And how do we listen to the guidance, the discernment, that quiet voice of God saying, here's where I need you to show up today. I'm going to share, we'll keep this up as the background, because I think that that's an interesting way to look at that, and it's simple. I love a little Venn diagram. It is definitely the English teacher in me. I'm going to share a few paragraphs from Andrew Harvey's book, The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. These are the paragraphs that surround the prayer that Deb shared in divine timing and synergy on Thursday, a prayer that evokes the Divine Mother. And before I read it, I'm going to invite you to consider that word, mother, and what it means to you. Like Lord, there can be a lot of stuff around the word mother. If you are a mother, if you are not a mother, all of that relationship stuff around mother can be a lot. And yet, I ask us to think about, how have you been nurtured? And who has nurtured you? How have you nurtured yourself and the people around you? What does that word mean to you as we listen to Andrew Harvey's words? It's a full page passage with the prayer in the middle. Harvey writes, you will find that being a mother to yourself will bring a peace and joy into your life that acts as a perfect ground to receive the divine energy. There is nothing narcissistic about this care you give yourself to stay clear and balanced an instrument of the divine as possible. Every human being is an incarnation of the divine. By honoring and taking care of all aspects of your human self, you are honoring your Creator, whose presence in you is your secret truth. Your human self is the living temple of your divine self. If you honor the need to serve yourself as an instrument of the divine, you will discover over time that you will have far more compassionate and healthy energy to give your work in the world. You will also find that because you are truly treating yourself with patience, generosity, and respect, you naturally treat others better. How we treat ourselves is mirrored in the way we treat others. Andrew wrote this prayer because he finds that challenging himself. Sometimes it's easier for us to give to others than it is to turn that compassionate lens on ourselves, but we need both. So here is the prayer to Divine Mother. Divine Mother, give me your eyes so that I can see myself through them and see how holy in your eyes is my soul and how holy in your eyes is my mind and how holy in your eyes is my heart and how holy and sacred in your eyes is my body. Help me be as merciful and generous with myself as you would always want me to be. Help me honor myself as I have found, to my amazement, you honor me. Divine Mother, help me live and work from the peace and balance and compassion from which you live and work and help. Help me in these ways, Mother, so that I can at last truly become the instrument you need me to be, the sacred instrument of your compassion and action that you created me to be and that I already am in your holy and illumined eyes. If we, as sacred activists, Harvey writes, are going to inspire others, it will be by the kindness, balance, truth, and radiance of our presence and of our whole being, by the health and joy we radiate. In order to bring such radiance to others, you need to tend its subtle and tender flame in yourself. Holy wow, Andrew Harvey. That's a lot of food for thought and prayer today. And as always, that leads me to the twin aspects of living a life in spirit. We are called to do our own deep individual work in prayer, meditation, through all of our spiritual practices, to listen to the voice of God within. To the Divine Mother, to the Divine Father, to the Divine Love, however you encompass that divine in you and name it or find it hard to name. We must have time in our practices and in the quiet to hear. And then we are called to bring all of us to bear in service to our community and the world. Called to use our gifts for the common good, we are not all called to the same service, but we are all called into the fullness of both our divinity and our humanity by the same voice of God. Can we hear the call? Methodist founder John Wesley is credited with these words. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. They're familiar words. May we take them in, and may we live them. May we be that blessing. May we trust the blessing that we each are and that we are together in this community. And may we truly be love and kindness and compassion at work in the world through our holy heartbreak, our holy imagination, our holy rebellion, our holy discomfort, our holy wow, our holy hallelujah. Amen.